I want to look at a word here and just want to introduce the message in verse number 6. And for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We know that Christmas is about the child being born. You say, preacher, why didn't it say that the son was born? Because the son wasn't born. The son is from everlasting to everlasting. But something took place, and the Lord would give himself. God would become flesh. And we'll say more about that in a minute. But I want you to think about the son that was given. I thought about a very, very well-known verse of scripture, and had no idea that even in my Bible, when you run the references, you get the reference that popped up in my heart before it popped up in my eyes. But the Bible references John 3:16 right here. For God so loved the world that he gave. When's the last time you thought about John 3:16 being a Christmas verse? But that's what it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. I like that song that said, whosoever surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. How many's glad when you found out you was a whosoever? And that you could believe on him and you could trust him and you could have this wonder in your heart and in your life. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 John just a moment. I'm still just trying to introduce the message. I can't get over that. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then I thought about a scripture in 1 John, and I could quote part of it, but I want to get it all. In 1 John chapter number 4, think about this for just a moment. The Bible said in verse number 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Then this was manifested, the love of God toward us, but because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Christmas is about giving. But I'll tell you, the greatest gift was given on an old rugged tree. The Word of God said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I'll tell you, our Lord became a curse for us. Amen. The Bible said he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I heard this statement years ago and I've never gotten over it. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. I tell you, that blesses my heart this morning. Amen. To know that God came down for you and for me. I want to look at one word here in this text today. Not sure if I'll get finished this morning, but I tell you, my heart is so full. I hope that some of it can spill out, and maybe you can get a little sip out of the saucer when the cup runs over. Amen. I believe the Lord wants us to look at this word, the word wonderful. The Bible said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'd like to go into all that, but I'm going to get hung up on the word wonderful, I believe, this morning. Amen. I want to just say a few things about this word. He's wonderful, not only, my friend, in his name, not only in his title, not only in his position, but I want to give you some things this morning, how the Lord spoke to my heart. Our Lord is wonderful in his incarnation. The Word of God said in John chapter number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I love this. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? The wonder of the incarnation. The Bible said in verse 14, over there, the Bible said that we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In his incarnation, the Bible said, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now I could get happy right there just to know that God left heaven and came down here to be with us. But think about this. When we got saved, God was no longer just with us, but now God's in us. Now God's for us. Hallelujah. Now God can work through us. Amen. And I appreciate that. In the incarnation, he's called the mighty God. He's called the everlasting Father. That's why the Bible had to make a distinction that the child was born, but the son was given. Amen. I appreciate the Lord doing that. I want you to think about this verse of scripture before I move on. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I tell you, it's a great mystery this morning. You say, preacher, explain the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to explain it. I'm here to preach it. I'm not here to explain it. I'm here to believe it. I'm here to enjoy it. The wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? I believe the Bible teaches Jesus, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. I appreciate so much our Lord and his incarnation, his willingness to come down here, my friend, take on a robe of flesh. Amen. And take on a body like unto our body, be tempted just like we are, and yet, my friend, without sin, and to have that body nailed to an old rugged cross. Amen. So that you and I could be free, and you and I could be saved by the grace of God. I say he's wonderful this morning in his incarnation. The second thing I want to say this morning is he's wonderful in his salvation. You see, a lot of people talk about my salvation, and I'm not fussing, I'm not picking, but the Bible will use the words thy salvation. The Bible will say salvation is of the Lord. And he's wonderful in his salvation. I believe with all of my heart that when the Bible said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Can I just stop and say this morning? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I tell you this morning, I believe with all of my heart, there's a lot of religions in the world, but there's few relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that we must be born again. It's more than just, my friend, a religion. It's more than just a form. It's more than just a fashion. We must be born into his family, amen, and experience the salvation of an almighty God. Jonah said it like this, I'll sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I thought about some things this morning as I was preparing to preach. If you would ask the blind man, how was that salvation that God gave you? I believe he might just say it was wonderful. Hallelujah. If you would ask that maniac, amen, of Gadara, what was it like when the Lord delivered you from those demons, delivered you from the chains, delivered you from that darkness? I believe he might say it was wonderful. I believe if you ask that woman at the well, what was it like to be forgiven of that loose life that you had lived and be put into the family of God and be able to tell men what Christ had done for you and let them listen and be changed themselves, I believe she might say it was wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful. You ask a thief on the cross, sir, what was it like that day
when you looked over and said, Lord, remember me. And you heard him say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe that thief might say something like this. It was wonderful. I'll tell you this. I went to church one Sunday night in February 1987. Guilty as a low down hound dog on my way to hell. I tell you, the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart. I went forward and trusted Christ as my Savior. You say, preacher, what was it like? Can I just stop and say, it was wonderful. He forgave me of all my sin, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, no longer on my way to hell without God, put me in the greatest family that's ever been on the face of this earth. It was wonderful. And can I just stop and say, this still is, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was wonderful when you got saved, he ought to still be wonderful today. Amen. If it was wonderful when you got married, my friend, it ought to still be wonderful today. If it was wonderful when God forgave you of your sin and wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, if it's not wonderful today, then my friend, it ought to be wonderful before you leave this church this morning. Once again, his name shall be called Wonderful. You see, you could ask a little boy. You could ask a little boy that's told his mom and dad lies, told his teacher lies, and been saved by the grace of God. Son, what was it like when God saved you? And that little boy would say, it was wonderful. You could ask a man or a woman that's lived in sin all their life and that's been saved by the grace of God, what's it like to be saved? And they'd say, it's wonderful. You say, preacher, why would you talk about the word wonderful? Because I'm talking about Jesus. My friend, it's a synonym for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, it's wonderful this morning. Amen. To have him in your heart and in your life. I hadn't thought about it in quite a while. Sister Brooke and some of our folk went over and gave out blankets this last Thursday. You know something? That's something we take for granted. Most of us have got blankets on the bed and plenty of them in the closet. Say amen right there. There are people, my friend, that are cold, and they gave out blankets, and I made up a little piece of literature, and I hadn't thought about it in a long time, but I titled it The Wonderfulness of a Warm Heart. A blanket will keep your body warm, but I tell you, only Jesus can warm your heart. If you have an old, cold, dead heart this morning, I will tell you about a Savior that's wonderful. I tell you, he can warm your heart, amen? You can pull in by the fire of the Holy Ghost and be warmed, amen, in this cold world. And I thought about a little girl at 12 years old that was saved in Southern Illinois years ago in a revival meeting out there. She came forward. She was from Texas and her papa lived in Southern Illinois. Came forward that morning and got saved, and she was going to the restaurant with her papa. He said, preacher, you really believe that 12-year-old got saved? I really do. I really do. Let me tell you, one of the reasons I believe it is because of what she said to her papa. Let me tell you another reason that I believe it. Kyle, she went home with a burden for her mommy. Her mommy wasn't saved, and she would text me and text Miss Eve and ask us to pray for her mommy. She had something that was wonderful, and she wanted her mommy to have it too. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's a problem if you don't want others to have what you have. Amen. I tell you, I want the world to have what I have this morning. Amen. It's wonderful. Papa said, Lakin, what was it like when you got saved, honey? She said, it was like the cold went out and the warm came in. Amen, glory to God. I tell you, you'll never talk to an adult that would describe it like that. But out of the mouth of babes, amen, she was saying it was wonderful. I went down to that altar cold and dead in trespasses and sin, and I left with life and the warmth of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart and in my life. Wonderful in his incarnation. He's wonderful in his salvation. Y'all remember, there was a song. Brother Fred, you remember it. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I shall never forget. After in darkness I wandered away. Jesus, the Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy I am telling. He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful he is to me. Thank the Lord this morning. You know, the day there are people right now that are hurting. There are people that are this Christmas season going to turn to drugs. They're going to turn to alcohol. They're going to turn to the sex culture. They're going to turn to everything under the sun. But I tell you, if you want to have a wonderful Christmas, you'll never do it outside of the wonder of wonders. The wonder of wonders, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The songwriter said it like this. He said, the wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders. He died for my sin. I tell you, he's wonderful. The wonder of wonders. As she looked on his face, this little boy spoke the worlds in their place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun were created by him. The wonder of wonders. As she heard his small cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, came down to the earth. The wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders. He died for my sin. He's wonderful in this incarnation. But I tell you, he's wonderful in his salvation. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He'll call his name Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? There's two kinds of peace that we need this morning. First and foremost, we need peace with God. That can only be made. We can only make peace with God through the blood of his cross. There's no other way to have peace with God than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second peace this morning for the child of God is the peace of God. You see, we can make peace with God through trusting Jesus as our Savior and have peace with God. But how many understands what I'm about to say? You can walk in a way that it will cost you the peace of God. And you just don't have peace. I believe a lot of people sometimes get confused and get mixed up. I believe sometimes when the Lord even convicts a Christian sometimes of sin, they don't understand how to handle that conviction and they think, I must not be saved. But I'll tell you something right now. God just wants you to have peace with God, number one, and he wants you to have the peace of God, number two. The peace of God passes all understanding. I'll tell you something right now. I talked to Dad this week, and it's not an easy time for a man that's been married. I think Dad told me, yeah, he did. He said, son, we were married 54 years. I'll be married 54 years. I mean, excuse me. I'll be 54 years old. I didn't want y'all to think Miss Eve was that old, amen. I look it, but she don't, amen. I'll be 54 years old, New Year's Eve. And so there's that gap of time from January 2012 to there. That's how long Mom and Dad had been married when I was born. And he said, son, he said, it's just hard. But he said, you know, son, it's going to be all right. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say he hurts in his heart, but he has peace. He knows it's going to be all right, amen. Thank God there's going to be a glad reunion day. Amen. Thank God there's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day when God gets all the young'uns back together again. Amen. Until then, we can make it on the peace that God gives us in our hearts and in our lives. It passes all understanding. People don't understand, Brother Joe. They don't understand how that we could, even though we hurt, still have a wonderful Christmas and still have wonderful friends and still have a wonderful Savior and still have a wonderful Bible and still have a wonderful prayer time and still have a wonderful life. They don't understand because it passes all understanding. But I'll tell you this morning, it's a truth. It's a truth. I believe with all of my heart this Christmas season we ought to concentrate. If you'll come back tonight, I'll give you some more. It'll get even gooder tonight on this word wonderful. He's wonderful. How many could say he's wonderful? He's wonderful. He's wonderful to me. He's wonderful to my family. I want to say, listen, I ain't been around here but about 6 or 8 months. He's wonderful to our church. God's been good to us. We need to never forget that. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Today, he's wonderful. Do you know him? If you do, surely you'd have to say, he's wonderful. You say, preacher, my heart hurts. Can I tell you what? He's wonderful at healing a hurting heart. I tell you this morning, there are families even in our church that are going through things, and I know it hurts. He said, preacher, how can you know? Some of it's because I've been there. I know it hurts. But I tell you this, there's a God that specializes in healing the hurt. Amen. Let that wonderful God, that wonderful Savior, have that situation this morning. And I believe he'll take control. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we've had together today. Lord, I've sensed your presence, and I pray, God, that others have as well. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us today, Lord, to understand the wonderfulness of your incarnation and the wonderfulness, Lord, of your salvation. God, you didn't owe it to us. You didn't have to. Lord, you sure are good to us. I pray, Lord, this morning that, Lord, that you would just take the message. Help us, Lord, to understand how wonderful our Savior is. I pray, Lord, that you would help us today that we wouldn't be guilty of living a life like the world, having a Christmas without Christ. Lord, that we would make sure that you're in the center of all that we say and all that we do.